State laws in Ohio and Indiana allow public school students to leave school for religious instruction, and a prominent provider of that instruction locally is LifeWise Academy, a non-denominational Christian program. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about LifeWise and concerns some parents have about the program are Molly Gaines, an Ohio parent, Zachary Parrish, an Indiana parent. They are co-founders of the Secular Education Association, and WVXU education reporter Zach Carrion. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
LifeWise Academy had agreed to be part of this discussion, but canceled this morning. Zach, explain what LifeWise is.
Yeah, well, like you said, it is a nonprofit religious instruction program, and they say they provide Bible education, and it's designed to empower students. So as of right now, their most kind of recent numbers is nationwide that they're in more than 1,000 schools in 34 states as of this fall. And that is a pretty big growth. They've grown a lot in the past couple of years. And here in Ohio, most recently, they say that they're now in half of Ohio's school districts. So we have seen rapid growth with LifeWise in the past couple of years. And like you mentioned, non-denominational is what they claim to be, though the organization's own website says they are aligned with historic Orthodox Christian beliefs and get their lessons from the Gospel Project, which is coming from the Southern Baptist Convention. So that's a little bit of background on LifeWise.
Okay. And Zach, Ohio has this new law related to religious instruction during the school day that occurs off school grounds. What did the law change there?
Yeah, so some people might remember what was called the Parents' Bill of Rights. It was signed into law earlier this year at the beginning of the year. And what that bill does is it prohibits schools from teaching any content involving sexuality to students in kindergarten through the third grade. It also requires public schools to notify parents when they're discussing sexuality in the classroom, and they can request alternative instruction. And the last part of it is it also mandates that public schools create a policy allowing students to leave school during the day to receive religious instruction. Now, that doesn't mean it has to be LifeWise, but certainly LifeWise is the biggest game in town when it comes to out-of-school religious instruction. So in that case, when schools have to make a policy, it tends to be to allow something like LifeWise in.
Can you give us some examples of some local schools that are offering LifeWise for students?
Yeah, so LifeWise started in Hilliard, Ohio, in the Columbus area. So you'll see a lot of schools in the Columbus area that have LifeWise programs. They were kind of the first to come on board. It's been a little bit slower in the Cincinnati area, you know, at least in Hamilton County. You know, it is in Cincinnati Public Schools, but only a couple. And currently they're in Lebanon City Schools, Edgewood City Schools, New Miami, Talawanda, Mason, King's Local, and a few others. And they're also collecting signatures now. And this is kind of how you start a program. You collect signatures, start to develop a team, and then you get approval from the school. So there's several schools that are also in that process of launching a LifeWise program. Lakota is one of them, and there's a few others as well.
Zachary, can you talk to us about how this gets implemented? I guess I wonder what classes are students allowed to miss for religious instruction? How long are they gone from the schools? How are there is there a limit to the number of days of the school year? Can you kind of walk us through some of that?
Sure. A lot of that's going to depend on the school's policy itself. But the law allows for at least an hour. Here in Indiana, I believe they are 2 hours a week that they're allowing per the state law. And yeah, they're not supposed to miss any core classes. So they're not supposed to miss any science, math, English, that sort of thing. But they are allowed to miss, you know, what they consider non-essential classes. I would debate that. I think all classes are essential, but they're allowed to miss art, music, gym, STEM, lunch and recess. We see a lot of schools restricting them to only take them out during lunch and recess because they do value those other classes. And then unfortunately what we see, and this is kind of how I got started, we see a lot of kids just being put into study halls. My second grade daughter was just shoved into a study hall to accommodate this program.
Wow. How many kids were in the study hall with her?
like two other kids. 80% of the school district in the school that I first learned about this up in Defiance in Ohio, 80% of the school was going. But they were also listing it on the class schedule. So, you know, from a parent's perspective, from a child's perspective, when you see this LifeWise class listed right alongside art, gym, and music, you just assume that it is part of the school day.
So you had to opt out and say you didn't want your daughter in that, and then she was in a study hall with the few other kids who weren't going?
Yep. And the study hall was even in a gym. It wasn't even in a classroom. They sent my daughter to the gym to read on the iPad by herself, to read by herself, completely uninstructed.
Molly, what
so
about...
So when they say this doesn't affect the kids that don't go, I mean, that it's such... It's such a blatant lie. Every child is affected by this program, whether or not they want to admit it.
Molly, what have you seen in Ohio? You know, or in Ohio, are parents opting in or are they opting out? And do teachers go with the students to these classes?
Sure. Yeah, it really depends on what area you're in. In rural areas, like Zach just talked about, in Defiance, Ohio, and a lot of other rural areas, you are seeing 80, 90% attendance rate. So the entire class is going and one or two children is left behind. That's what I wanted to make clear is Zach is not a one-off story. He is not an outlier. This happens all of the time and it continues to happen as we speak. So, you know, they're leaving the children that are left behind. And even if it's half the class, you know, maybe it's not 80 or 90%, maybe it's half the class, but they're leaving the children behind. And then the school isn't equipped to teach those children and then also have enough like support to teach the rest of the children, like the LifeWise children that come back again to stagger that lesson. So it causes a lot of issues with that. The teachers are not allowed to go with them. This is off-site religious instruction. So no teachers, no aides. We have seen that as well, off subject, but we've also seen where aides for children who have disabilities or special needs are sent off campus, which is absolutely illegal. It's taxpayer funded, you know, an aide is. And so we've seen that happening. And what it really comes down to is if they are allowed to get away with it, or if it's something that is accepted in their community and no one is going to blow the whistle, then they will do that, whether it's against the law or not.
We're talking about LifeWise Academy, a non-denominational Christian program that offers public school students Bible lessons during the school day. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Zach, what do we know about the qualifications of the LifeWise instructors? Do you know if they have background checks? Like, do we know much about any of that?
That is not something that I know personally. I think maybe these parents could probably speak to that a little bit better.
Okay.
So since they are outside of the, you know, school district, I'm not sure about their qualifications.
Okay, fair enough. Is that something, Zachary or Molly, that you all have looked into? Or are you familiar with the qualifications?
Oh, yeah, we've looked deeply into that. I actually took the background check for LifeWise Academy myself because I do have a bit of a record from when I was younger. They do run background checks, but they're not equivalent to what the school district employees or even the school district volunteers are required to participate in. In Ohio specifically, you know, we have this system called a RAFPAC system, where if you're a teacher and you get convicted of a crime, you're going to get a flag in the system that automatically throws it up to the school board, to the administrators, to the State Board of Education, saying, you know, this teacher has been charged with a crime. Maybe they were driving with a student or their child endangerment, whatever it may be. It's going to throw a flag up in the system, which alerts everybody in the school district and at the state to look into this further, right? LifeWise doesn't have to participate in that system whatsoever. That was part of what got added into that Parents' Bill of Rights, and we fought really hard to get this in there, was the school districts can dictate the background check policies now. So the school districts can say, if you want to bring this program in, you need to be doing the same background checks that we are doing. So that some school districts need to be aware of, that they do have options to kind of push back and, you know, prioritize the safety of the students.
And are you saying you had that added in Indiana or Ohio or both?
In Ohio.
In Ohio, okay. Well, we are going to continue this conversation after a short break. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about state laws that allow public school students to leave class for religious instruction. My guests are Molly Gaines, an Ohio parent, Zachary Parrish, an Indiana parent. They are co-founders of the Secular Education Association. And we have in the studio WVXU education reporter Zach Carrion. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Molly, with the law that Ohio has in place now, if parents want LifeWise at their school, can the school decline and say, no, we're too busy with other things, or does the school have to bring the program in?
Yeah, unfortunately, that parental rights bill mandated our schools to allow programs like LifeWise and LifeWise to come in and to offer that programming, that outside of the local community programming, because that's what it is. And we need to be clear about that. They are going to frame it as being local. It's going to be brought to the district or to the school board as locally. But what it really is it is corporate run and facilitated as like a pyramid scheme or a franchise, right? So it's really not what they claim to be. And that sort of goes across the board.
Zach, as I mentioned, we tried to have a LifeWise representative on. We had one scheduled, but they backed out this morning, canceled on us this morning. Why does LifeWise argue it's important for public school students to have this kind of instruction?
Yeah, in speaking with LifeWise earlier this year and also some information on their website, they talked about how religious instruction can help with anxiety, depression, and also the issue of suicide with youth. So they think that Bible education can help with that, but they're also looking at, you know, bringing up church attendance and also improving Bible literacy and also professions of faith with the youth. So they kind of see this as a moral education that can be brought not into schools, but I guess near schools and to the students in those schools.
There have been some lawsuits against LifeWise. There's one before the Ohio Supreme Court. We won't get into a lot of detail about that. We did hear from LifeWise. They declined to discuss any lawsuits with us. But there's also a lawsuit involving you, Zachary. LifeWise sued you after you shared the group's curriculum online. Tell us why you shared the curriculum. Why was that important to you?
Absolutely. I mean, if you're a parent who's considering signing your child up for this class, I think you have every right to know what is being taught. And before the lawsuit, before I published it, they were not being transparent with that at all. They wouldn't let parents look at it. They wouldn't let school boards look at it. They wouldn't even let clergy members look at it. And so part of the settlement was that they had to make this publicly available for people to review. And, you know, they framed it as, oh, look how transparent we're being now. But again, they were forced to do so by the settlement. And this wasn't a choice that they made. I think it's kind of also important to note, you know, we talk about this being off school and off site. They're pushing this legislation in about 20 different states this upcoming legislative session to, again, mandate this program, not just in Ohio and Indiana, but in 20 more states. This legislation isn't just something that they support. It is something that they wrote with the help of First Liberty, the Alliance Defending Freedom, and the Wall Builders. This is straight out of their representatives' mouths. They wrote this legislation with these organizations. And part of that legislation is they want to start claiming equal access to start doing their classes in the building. So they hide behind the Supreme Court ruling of Zorach, which very, very explicitly says, you know, you cannot do this in the school. It has to be off school property. They love to throw that case up there and say, this is all fine, we're all legal. But they're also actively trying to overturn that precedent with, you know, state legislation all across the country.
Zach, let's talk more about that, because separation of church and state is foundational in the U.S. Constitution. How does a program like this work around that or work alongside it?
Well, when I spoke to LifeWise, they described their program as really the definition of separation between church and state, because they are taking students out of class, they're taking them out of school, putting them on a bus, and then taking them to another location. And of course, they need permission from their parents to be a part of this program. The program's also privately funded as well. So there is that separation there, but certainly there has been some controversy, some issues over bringing materials from LifeWise back into the school building, whether it be, the course materials itself, merchandise, candy, that kind of thing. And, there's worries about LifeWise kind of bringing that influence into schools.
Molly, I know from Zach's reporting that some of the LifeWise representatives he talked to argued these stories from the Bible can teach these universal character traits, like kindness, for example. What do you think about that argument?
I think that's absolutely ridiculous, if I'm honest with you. We actually just did sort of an overview, deep dive of one of their lessons. And it was about good child versus bad child. And they're really framing the good child as the Christian, the one that loves church. And the bad kid is the one who thinks church is, quote unquote, dumb. So if it's truly about character, it's truly about kindness, then why are they teaching students, this division, this thing about the good kids, the bad kids? That particular lesson also contains some really heavy anti-Semitism, which is super concerning. So they may say these things front facing. They're absolutely going to say that. But the reality is they're taking these kids out and they're subtly teaching them hate and anti-Semitism and intolerance for people that are different than themselves.
I'd like to expand on that just a little bit too. One of the key components in their statement of faith, there's this idea that they're non-denominational, but when you look at the documents that all of their volunteers and workers and employees have to sign, one of them is a statement of faith, which specifically says man's nature is inherently corrupt and that you cannot be saved without Jesus, that good works do not matter. It seems really telling to me when you're saying good works don't matter. I don't know how you parse that with character education.
Zachary, you mentioned that your second grade daughter, who wasn't part of this program, was in a gym, basically by herself with a couple other kids during a study hall. Molly, I understand you also have a child who went to a school where LifeWise was offered. What did your child experience? What did you hear from parents whose children participated or chose not to participate?
Sure. So fortunately, they weren't offering LifeWise in the grade that my daughter was last year. This year they are. We just started school, so I don't have a lot of experience yet to report back. But I can tell you that from witnessing firsthand myself, going in and seeing the disruption that is caused when they're getting the kids out of class, when they're returning from class, I've heard plenty of parents say things about the trinkets that are sent home or the personalized invitations that are given to the children to take to their friends and invite them to come to LifeWise. So it is every single thing that they do has a very specific purpose and a plan, and it is designed to manipulate and to insert themselves into the public school day. I think it's almost comical that they talk about the separation of church and state and how they're the definition of, when we all know that, that is theoretical. It's not physical. It's not physically removing the children from the state and then putting them in the church. That doesn't count. If you're returning the children back into an environment after you've taught them these horrible things, they're going to repeat that. They are going to spread that, and they're being asked to do so. So that's where the issue comes from.
Zachary, what information or advice would you offer to parents if they have concerns about having religious instruction of any kind offered during the school day?
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to, I think parents need to really do their research. They cannot just take the sales pitch from LifeWise or any other release time program at face value. These programs have been around since like 1902, the LDS Church, I was raised Mormon personally, and they have been running release time programs for a very long time. And we just haven't seen the kind of issues being caused by these other programs that's being caused by this. So I think it's really important for people to do their research, see where this is coming from, what the curriculum actually is, where it's coming from, and the kind of organizations that are behind this program. They say they're non-political, but when you look at the people supporting them, the podcasts they've been on, the money they're getting, it is all extreme right-wing conservative groups, right? We're talking about the Heritage Foundation. We're talking about Herzog. We're talking about the Wall Builders. We're talking about Patriot Mobile.
Family Policy Alliance. We could keep going. We could name organizations all day long.
But I think it's just really important for people to do their research, understand what this program actually is, and talk to your school boards about it, because even though they are mandated to have a...
Sorry to interrupt you there, Zachary. I've been talking with Molly Gaines from Ohio, Zachary Parrish from Indiana. They're co-founders of the Secular Education Association, and WVXU education reporter Zach Carrion. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. I'm Lucy May. Thanks so much for listening.